We now start the ninth chapter of Maseches Bava Metzia, which is going to talk about the relationship between a landowner and the tenants who are on his land and working. They're farmers. So this relationship of owning land and having someone else work your land for you can take one of three basic forms in terms of the economic system that the Mishnah contemplates. One is called arisus. An aris is what's called a sharecropper. That means that they share a portion of the crop, and it's divided by some fixed ratio. So they might agree to split it 50-50 or one-third, two-thirds. It doesn't matter. The point is both the landowner and the farmer who's living there are taking risk, and they'll divide the profits as they come. So that's called a risus. He's an aris, a sharecropper, and something is also called a kablonos, okay, like he's macabre the land. The second is called chakiros. Chakiros means a tenant farmer. That means that he lives on the land, he works it, and he pays rent. But the rent that he pays is not a fixed dollar amount, but rather it's a fixed amount of the output of the land, because this person presumably has, essentially, he's living hand to mouth, has no money. So he says, listen, at the end of the season, I'll give you 10 bushels of wheat in order to you give me the rights to live and work on this land. And then all the upside is mine. If I make, 100 or 1,000 bushels, I can keep everything. But you get 10 no matter what, so the risk is all mine as well, meaning that if hypothetically the land produces nothing, it's a complete, there's not a drop of rain and nothing grows, so then in theory the tenant farmer, the choker he's called, would have to reach into his pocket and buy 10 bushels of wheat in the store and then deliver it to the landowner. So that's like a rent. The third way is really also renting, but more conventionally it's called schirus. That's just a renter or a lease. The idea here is that the person who's on the field, on the farm, he's paying a fixed dollar amount. He says, I'll give you $100 or 1,000 shekels to, live in your farm, and essentially all the profits and losses that come from the farming activities themselves all belong to the tenant. Okay, so the truth is that really the choker and the socher, chakiros and tzachiros, tenant farming and leasing, are really the exact same, just the payment is either with money or in kind with output of the land. In contrast, the aris, the sharecropper, is a little different, right? He's sharing more like an equity, like a joint venture. He's sharing both in the profits and the losses proportionally with the landowner. Okay, so our Mishnah starts out, the first case is talking about all the following, meaning all the above. It doesn't matter if you're talking about a choker or a socher or an aris. You've got a farmer living on the land, so if they don't stipulate the exact details of how the farming will be done, the first point of our Mishnah here is Hakol Kamina Gamadina, everything goes based on the prevailing customs of that locale. So the Mishnah starts by saying Hamekabel Sada Mechavero, literally one who receives land from his fellow. Now, more often than not, when you have the word Mekabel, we're talking about, that's like Kablanut, that's really someone who's like an aris, a sharecropper. But in this particular case, and it's not so uncommon, it's a general term for all types of relationships between the farmer and the landowner, and in this case it's referring to all the above. So if a person acts as a farmer, whether as a choker, a socher, or an aris, and on someone else's property, so then let's say they're talking about the way in which the grain should be harvested. So there are two basic ways you can harvest it. You can harvest it with a cutting implement, like a sickle or a scythe, and the advantage of that is it's nice and quick. The disadvantage is it leaves a bunch of stubble in the field and makes the field a big mess. So the question is, can the landlord demand that the tenant harvest the wheat in a particular way? By, could he say, I insist to use do it by a sickle or something and use it, cut it, leaving stubble? Or could he say, listen, I insist you ocher it, you rip it up from the roots, so that there's nothing left? Yes, that's more work, but it keeps the field nice and clean, and we can afterwards we can till it properly, make sure there's no weeds, etc. So that's my preference. Can you demand that? So the Mishnah's answer is it all depends on what's customary. In other words, if they had an agreement ahead of time that said, you can work in my field, but I insist that you only okay, you rip it up the roots, so that'd be binding because they agreed upon it. If they didn't agree, everything's based on the prevailing customs. That's what the Mishnah says. It says, a makabel sada mechavero, if one's acting as a farmer in his fellow's field, whether it's a choker, socher, or aris, makam shenagu liktzor, yiktzor, laakor, yakor. If it's a place, it's customary to kotzer with a cutting tool, he has to do that. If it's customary to be oker, ripping it up from the roots, he has to do that. L'charosh acharav yacharosh. If there's a requirement to, if there's a custom, it's prevalent custom in this place, is that they plow the field after the harvest to make sure the weeds are dead, he has to do that as well. Now, obviously, at some point you have to plow and get rid of the weeds. That's goes without saying. The Gemara says, and anyways, what's this coming to add? The Mishnah ends up by saying, Hakol kamina gamadina. Everything is based on the common custom, the prevailing custom. So what's this lachrosh achrav yachrosh mean? It's coming to say, even for example, if the farmer, he went and he did the weeding prior to the harvest, so he had a clean harvest and nothing, you know, mixed up when he harvested later on, the landlord could say, listen, I still insist that after you're done, you weed it yet again. And the tenant can't say, I already weeded it once, if the prevailing custom in that locale is to weed it after the harvest is done. Okay, that's part one of the Mishnah. Now, part two of the Mishnah is talking about something very specific. In the case of someone functioning as a sharecropper, meaning an aris. So arisus means it's like a joint venture, kind of like an equity deal. They're both sharing on the upside, but also sharing in the downside and in expenses. That's what the nature of arisus is. So here the Mishnah says, Kashem shecholken betavua, just the same way they have fixed some fixed ratio by which they're going to share the grain that comes from the field, let's just say 50-50. So then, kach cholken betevin uvakash. There's other byproducts that come from the harvest. That's the straw and stubble. So we're talking about, like, the straw is, you know, what's after you do the threshing, the dash, the disha. So there's, you know, stalks left behind in the threshing floor. There's also the stubble left back in the field, which can be later on used to, you know, use that to use straw for, like, lining the pen of an animal, or, you know, feeding animals and stuff like that. So that is divided in the same ratio, so call it 50-50. As far as which is kash and which is tevin, meaning which is straw and which is stubble, it's mechlokas Rashi and Tosfos, but between the two of them, it's both. Okay. Keshem shecholken b'yayin, kach cholken b'zemoros u'bakanim. Ushneim mesapkin esakanim. So that says, really paralleling, just as we said, the byproducts of the grain harvest are split by the same ratio. We're saying here the byproducts of the wine making process that they divide. Let's say each one gets half the wine. Kachokin bezemuros, they also divide the, let's say, there are vines that were taken off when they were doing the making the wine. Those vines are divided equally. Obakanim kanim are like these dowels, like the sticks they put in the ground, which will be used to train the vines, right? Like in a vineyard, you see like the vines are off the ground. They're like usually on wires, so you have to put like stakes in the ground and then put the wires between them and train the vines on those things. So the point is, who gets those wooden stakes? The answer is they split them by the same ratio as the Mishnah says. Ushnehem misapkin esakanim. Now this is the reason why. The reason why they're splitting if they pull the stakes, those dowels, those sticks out the ground, they're going to divide them also prorated the same ratios, because Shnehem, because both of them had to pay for those sticks. In other words, if there was, you know, they needed 100 sticks to make up the vineyard, and 100 sticks cost $100, each one had to put in $50. And that's what they're dividing it afterwards, 50-50. Which would mean, if hypothetically, the farmer put in all $100 for the making those kanim, he would get all the kanim back. And same goes if, for whatever reason, the tenant laid out all the money for those sticks, then the tenant would get all the sticks back to himself.